कृष्णवल्लभगिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन अञ्जन जमुनातिरावनचारी जामुनातिरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन अञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन रञ्जन जमुनातिरावनचारी रावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
सो दिस मॉर्निंग विल बी डिस्कसिंग श्री श्री चैतन्य चरितमृत Chapter Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verses 119 and 20. Hani labhe sama shoka dira vasha nahaiba. Anya deva anya shastra ninda na koriba. Translation 15, number 15. The devotee should treat loss and gain equally. 16. The devotee should not be overwhelmed by lamentation. 17. The devotee should not worship demigods, nor should he disrespect them. Similarly, the devotee should not study or criticize other scriptures. Vishnu Vaishnava Ninda Gramya Vata Na Shuniba. Prani Matre Mano Vakke Udvega Nadiba. Please chant.
Thank you.
Vishnu Vaishnava Ninda Gramya Vartana Shuniba. Prani Matre Mano Vakya Udvega Nadiba. Matre mano vakye udvega nadiva. Vishnu Vaishnava Ninda Gramya Vartana Shuniba. Prani matre mano vakye udvega nadiva. Vishnu Vaishnav Ninda Gramya Vartana Shuniba. Prani Matre Mano Vakya Udvega Nadiba.
Anyone else?
Vishnu Vaishnav Ninda Gramya Vartana Shuniba. Prani matre mano vakye udvega nadiba.
Thank you. Word to words. Vishnu Vaishnav Ninda.
Vishnu Vaishnav Ninda.
Blaspheming Lord Vishnu or his devotee.
Blaspheming Lord Vishnu or his devotee.
Gramya Varta.
Gramya Varta.
Ordinary talks.
Ordinary talks.
Nashuniba.
Nashuniba.
We should not hear. Prani matre, to any living entity, however insignificant. Mana vakye, by mind or by words. Udvega, anxiety. Na diba, we should not give. Translation 18. The devotee should not hear Lord Vishnu or his devotees blasphemed. 19. The devotee should avoid reading or hearing newspapers or mundane books or internet or whatever that contain stories of love affairs between men and women or subjects palatable to the senses. 20. Neither by mind nor words should the devotee cause anxiety to any living entity, regardless how insignificant he may be. Purport. The first 10 items are do's and the second 10 items are don'ts. Thus, the first 10 items give direct action, and the second 10 items give indirect action. Nama Om Shri Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamite Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharene Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarene. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. So, just giving you a little storyline where we are in the CC right now. So, we know Sanatana Goswami had left. He escaped the jail, and he was on his way to Vrindavan. And while he was on that way, he would definitely wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya, and luckily he met Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi. So while he was there, this was, I think, the second meeting. They had met first in Ramakeli. And so at this stage, when Lord Chaitanya was in Varanasi and Sanatana Goswami reached there, so for 2 months, Lord Chaitanya gave him a crash course, a Bhakta crash course. Where's Pan Govinda Prabhu? He can see the crash course that he gave in 2 months about everything. He spoke to Sanatana Goswami from A to Z because he was entrusting him with the knowledge for him to him to distribute through writing books, etc. And so what we hear in this section from chapter 20, and now we're on 22, it's, you know, he tells everything from the constitutional position of the living entity, from, you know, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, talks about the beauty of Lord Krishna, talks about devotional service, how to perform, he talks about sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, rupa, raganuga bhakti. He discusses everything in that 2 months. And so this is what we're hearing right now is part of that that discussion that he, the instructions that he gave to Sanatana Goswami. So here, today we're studying, or at least in the purport Prabhupada writes, the first 10 items are do's and the second 10 items are don'ts. So don't worry, I'll be telling all those because I'm sure none of you remember. I know I don't remember from last time or from the time before. But Prabhupada is writing here, the first 10 items are do's and second 10 items are don'ts. The first 10 items give direct action and the second 10 items give indirect action. So the terminology in Sanskrit is, in English is rules and regulations, and in Sanskrit it is vidhi and nishedha. So those are the two things that we as devotees, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we're taught, or actually in any kind of atmosphere or any kind of sphere, I should say, whenever you, whether you go for a job or whether you go to a restaurant, there are always do's and don'ts, you know, so that's just a human human aspect that you there are do's and don'ts that you follow. So I want to first express about Srila Prabhupada's mood about rules and regulations. Srila Prabhupada writes, or he spoke somewhere, he says, so this sudurachar means that according to time, according to circumstance, according to so many, there are influences, just like I have come to your country. So far, rigid regulations and rules are concerned, in the beginning, of course, we do not find such opportunities to strictly follow. But still, we should not give so much attention for the regulation or strict rules and regulation. So just Srila Prabhupada is talking about what he's feeling. But do remember, it says, in the beginning. But we must see how much a person is advanced in Krishna consciousness. I thought that was very interesting. Prabhupada says, but we must see how much a person is advanced in Krishna consciousness. It almost says that you may not be able to follow rules and regulations, but you could still be advanced in Krishna consciousness. Am I correct for reading that? But that's what seems to say, Prabhupada saying, but. That we have to see. And if we go on criticizing everyone, oh, you're not doing this, you're not doing this. So many things according to Vedic culture, there may be so many things, but we're not concerned. As far as possible, people should be given chance to develop Krishna consciousness. At another place, Prabhupada writes, an acharya should devise a means by which people may somehow or other come to Krishna consciousness. First, they should become Krishna conscious, and all the prescribed rules and regulations may later gradually be introduced. Again, first you become Krishna conscious. I guess I could be Krishna conscious whether I follow any rules or regulations or not. Okay. Hey, I'm just repeating what it says here, okay? So then he further says, for example, since boys and girls in the Western countries freely intermingle, special concessions regarding their customs and habits are necessary to bring them to Krishna consciousness. The acharya must devise a means to bring them to devotional service. Therefore, although I'm a sannyasi, I sometimes take part in getting boys and girls married, although in the history of sannyas, no sannyasi has personally taken part in marrying his disciples. Just the thought came to my mind just now that Prabhupada is saying, I'm also not following the rules and regulations of a sannyasi. I've also broken them, he's saying. He's talking about rules and regulations, and then he's saying, me too. I'm not following the rules of a sannyasi here. Actually, to be honest, I'm not too sure it was 26 Second Avenue. I tried to find out, but I'm told that this was, there was this thing that was distributed to the devotees. Let's see if I can read this. Deva Prasada Prabhu, Mukunda Maharaj gave him this piece of paper that Srila Prabhupada himself personally wrote. And he said to kindly distribute. And I'll tell you what it says. So I'm not too sure. He said that Mukunda Maharaj was the president in the manor at that time. And so he thinks that that's when this was given to him to distribute to everybody. So if I put like this, then the thing turns around. I don't know what to do, but anyway, I'll read sideways. So Prabhupada has handwritten this. Kindly distribute. As a mission of the Hare Krishna movement. And then he writes this verse. Samashitaye padapallavam plavam mahat padapunya yasho murare bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yat pi padam natesham. And hear how he translates it. Those who are worried of the world's situation, gradually degrading towards godlessness, there's one word I can't understand. Oh, civilization, godlessness, civilization, may take shelter of the lotus feet of Murari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, simply by chanting his holy names as follows. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Along with chanting of this mantra as many times as possible, then in the bracket it says at least 16 rounds on the beads. So it is definitely written after he has introduce the 16 rounds. So it's not that early, okay? So then listen to this further. So then he says, at least 16 rounds. Please observe the following regulatory principles if you can. And then he writes, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Founder Acharya International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, branches all over the world. So it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada, so it's not that early because 16 rounds were started. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada's mood about do's and don'ts. Now I want to go further here by talking about what Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about, this vidhi and nishedhas. This is from Bhakti Loka. What does it mean, this vidhis and nishedhas, the do's and don'ts? Whatever is enjoined as one's duty is a prescribed rule. Whatever is enjoined as restricted is a prohibited rule. Both kinds of rules are auspicious for the living entities. So both of them are auspicious, the do's and the don'ts. Not that you just the do's and then you don't do the don'ts. Or you don't do, anyway, you should do the don'ts. You know what then? Don't do the don'ts. No, do the don'ts. How would you say it? Don't do the don'ts? Don't do the don'ts, okay. So he says, conditioned souls are eligible to attain a very exalted position for a very low position. So we are in a low position, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that we can get to the high position. We can get to that, not high, but exalted position. And he says, between these two positions, there are many other positions. Each position is a gradual step. Each gradual step is a distinct level of advancement. And each and every gradual step has different prescriptions and prohibitions. Now in this Bhakti Loka, he does not specifically describe what he's talking about, these different levels. First I couldn't understand, but from reading further, I knew it wasn't, that is included, the varnashram, you know, you have different rules and regulations for the varnas and for the ashrams. But later on, I was thinking he's talking about the different stages of advancement. Adho, Shraddha, Tatha, Sadhu, Sangha, etc. So I think he's talking about that. So in that kind of gradual advancement, it seems like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying there are different rules and regulations, and we should follow them. And he also says that it's important that we don't become attached to the rules and regulations of that particular stage of advancement. Because if you are attached to the lower do's and don'ts, and whereas you're going higher up, but you're attached to the lower do's and don'ts, then that is considered that you're falling down. So again, he doesn't fully describe or elaborates on these things. But basically he's saying that we progress and we have to be mindful of what are the do's and don'ts of a particular level in our Krishna consciousness. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. But then he describes, as you know, in Jaiva Dharma, all his essays are there between discussions between two people. You know, that's how he presents, kind of like what Satyaraj Prabhu does. So Raghunath Das Babaji, he says, Shastric stipulations on compulsory observances are known as vidhi, and those activities forbidden in the Shastra are called nishedas. To execute the vidhis and abstain from the nishedas in the Vaidhi Dharma for the jiva, is the Vedic Dharma for the jiva. And so Vrajanath says, from your instructions, I have gathered that all Shastras advise humanity to abide by Vedic Dharma. However, so this is for all of us. However, the problem of the jiva, particularly in Kali Yuga, because of his diminished longevity, is that he does not even have the time to browse through the Shastric mountains of Vidhi and Nishedhas. Yeah, he doesn't have the time. So then he says, he's so very kind, Vajranath is so kind to us. He says, is there a Shastric maxim that summarizes the essential Vidhis and Nishedhas? So Raghunath Das Babaji says, yes, the Padma Purana and the Narada Pancharatra both advise Smartavyo satatam Vishno Vismartavyo na jatuchit sarve vidhi nishedha sur etayor eva kinkarau. So, to always remember the Supreme Lord Shri Vishnu is the vidhi, observance, and to never forget him is the nishedha, prohibition. All the other vidhi and nishedha mentioned in the scriptures must be considered as subordinate instructions to these two. I could be wrong, but I remember, I think Nagaraj Prabhu was giving class. The only thing I remember was that he said, you know, he was making the point that we have to remember Krishna no matter what. This is the point. He said, so if you're remembering Krishna while taking a hot shower, you know, then that's good. But if you're taking a cold shower and we're not remembering Krishna, you know, then which one should we do? Something to that extent, something, you know, he was saying. But yeah, that is the thing. The point is that we have to always remember Krishna and never to forget him. And that is the key. So for us Kali Yuga people, if we can remember that, If we can remember Krishna, if we can remember this and remember Krishna, then we're doing good. So now I'm going to go back to the 10 items. 10 items, the do's, and the 10 items, the don'ts. And understand why Lord Chaitanya is giving these items to Sanatana Goswami, these do's and don'ts. Now keep in mind what is the main thing, that we remember Krishna and we never forget him. So Lord Chaitanya is not giving some Vedic injunctions because they are mountains of that. They're mountains of do's and don'ts in the Vedic scriptures. So he's giving to Sanatana Goswami, who's giving to us, is what will help, what is favorable to remembering Krishna. So here are the 10 items. On the path of regulated principle of devotional service. So by the way, these 20 items that he gives are part of sadhana bhakti, specifically Vaidhi bhakti. That is what we're following it right now, but the idea is if we follow Raganuga bhakti. But in one sense, we're following Raganuga bhakti, but we're just on this particular level right now. So on the path of regulative devotional service, one must observe the following items. Number one, one must accept a bona fide spiritual master. Everybody did that? Yeah. This is something we learned right away, these items. One must accept initiation from him. Okay. One must serve him. One must receive instructions from the spiritual master and make inquiries in order to learn devotional service. One must follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and follow the directions given by the spiritual master. These are the ABCs that we learn right away as we come to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, as an acharya, he has devised the instructions and the regulations and our lifestyle in such a way that we just know all this. We just imbibe it, so to speak. The next steps are as follows. Number six, one should be prepared to give up everything for Krishna's satisfaction, and one should also accept everything for Krishna's satisfaction. One must live in a place where Krishna is present, like at Radha Shyam Sundar's temple here in the vicinity, a city like Vrindavan or Mathura or a Krishna temple. One should acquire a livelihood that is just sufficient to keep body and soul together. One must fast on Ekadashi day. One should worship Dhatri trees, banyan trees, cows, Brahmins, and devotees of Lord Vishnu. Now these are the 10 items that we should avoid. One should avoid offenses against devotional service and the holy name. One should give up the company of non-devotees. One should not accept unlimited number of disciples. I'm a woman, I don't have to worry about that. Sorry for that comment. One should not partially study many scriptures just to be able to give references and expand explanations. The devotee should treat loss and gain equally. The devotee should not be overwhelmed by lamentation. The devotee should not worship demigods, nor should he disrespect them. Similarly, the devotee should not study or criticize other scriptures. Number 18, the devotee should not hear Lord Vishnu or his devotees blasphemed. The devotee should avoid reading or hearing newspapers or mundane books that contain stories of love affairs between men and women or subjects palatable to the senses. Number 20, neither by mind nor words should the devotee cause anxiety to any living entity, regardless of how insignificant he may be. So you can see that these do's and don'ts are something that we know them, and they are part of our lives. We hear about them. For example, I thought one must fast on Ekadashi day, yeah? So I thought about this. So we fast on Ekadashi day. But there are certain rules and regulations about following Ekadashi besides not eating this and that or whatever. And then in the Vedic scriptures, there are so many rules. Don't eat mustard seeds, don't eat carrots, don't eat potatoes, don't eat whatever, long line, yeah? But, I mean, it's fine if you want to follow. And there's nothing wrong. The more you follow, the good it is, better it is, I guess. But I don't like to follow too many rules and regulations. You know, chanting 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, that's enough for me. Ekadashi, that's fine. You know, a couple things like that. But if you give me a whole list of I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm like, okay, forget it, you know. But so Prabhupada has given us a certain minimum, so that's fine for me. But if you think about this do's and don'ts of Ekadashi, you break at a certain time. I thought about the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj. Now Ambarish Maharaj was very he strictly followed Ekadashi and he had done for one whole year. And I don't really understand what that means, that he followed Ekadashi for one whole year and then he was finally going to break it. Did he fast completely for one whole year? Does anybody know what that means? That he fasted, or maybe he, Hare Krishna. I won't speculate. So yeah, I don't understand. But that's what we're told, that he followed that, and he was ready to break it. And he wanted to make sure that he broke it according to the rules that are given, so that the Ekadashi that he has followed would be a proper offering to Lord Krishna. He's not following Ekadashi for some other reason, only for the satisfaction of Krishna, as one of the rules. You do everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. So he wanted to make sure that he followed everything properly, and that was to break it at a certain time. And right at that time, we know the story that Durvasa Muni came. And you know, he welcomed him, and then he said to please take prasadam. And then Durvasa Muni said, I have to go and take a bath. My noon duty is that he has to do the do's and don'ts of his sannyasi. So he went and did what he did. He went to take a bath and he came back. But in the meantime, what happened, the time came and that he had to, Ambarish Maharaj had to break his fast. And he was like, oh my God, I have to break my fast because I've performed this whole austerity the whole year. And if I don't do this correctly, don't follow this rule correctly, then I'm in trouble. So then he thought about it and he discussed with the brahmanas, and that's what we're meant to do when we're in that situation. And he properly did his part discussing, and he said, okay, I will drink water. In that way, I'm not breaking the fast, but I'm breaking the fast. Yeah, pretty good. So the brahman said, yes, perfect. And Durvasa Muni, when he comes, we're not into mystic power, because in the mystic power you can see what happens, and then you can start blaming, you know, and criticizing and pointing the finger. So through his mystic power, he was able to see that Ambarish Maharaj drank water, and oh my God, he got offended. I mean, he got offended. He got really offended. Anyway, so it was like, that's a not to do. That's a no. That's a don't. You did not follow that. He was so upset with him that he created this big, huge demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj. Can you imagine? He was so angry that he did not follow this rule. How dare you not follow this rule? It's the rule. You don't eat before a guest comes. That's the rule. You follow it. He was really upset. But Ambarish Maharaj, his consciousness was good. And when he got upset and when he got this demon, Ambarish Maharaj was there just with folded hands. And the demon, and so that, by the way, Sudarshan Chakra was there to protect Ambarish Maharaj. That was given by Krishna himself. And then Sudarshan Chakra did not like what this demon was doing. So Sudarshan Chakra went after this demon created by Durvasa Muni. And we know the story. Durvasa Muni went all over the place to Lord Brahma, to Lord Shiva. Please protect me from this Sudarshan Chakra who's coming right behind me. And then he goes to Vishnu, and then Vishnu says, yeah, that's not good. Sorry, but you need to go and apologize. That was just not right of you to do that. And so Durvasa Muni comes, and he does what Lord Narayan told him. And he had to be humble. And so he apologized to, he comes and he offers his respects to Ambarish. He falls down flat in front of him. Let me read what he says or what happens. Oh, this is, Lord Narayan says, O Brahman, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One's so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. And then, so when Durvasa touched his feet, Maharaj Ambarish was very much ashamed because he's a grihastha and this is a sannyasi. And a sannyasi is touching the feet of a grihastha. Can you imagine if you were in that situation? Even if a sannyasi had made a mistake, he comes and touches your feet. If you're a real devotee, you would not feel good about it. And so Maharaj Ambarish was a real devotee, and he felt ashamed. And when he saw Durvasa attempting to offer prayers because of mercy, he was aggrieved even more. So not that he was just going to touch his feet, but he was wanted to say some prayers. So thus he immediately, that is Ambarish Maharaj, began offering prayers to the great weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So right away Ambarish was like, no, don't offer any prayers. Right away he started offering prayers to Sudarshan Chakra, who was trying to attack Durvasa Muni. And he says, if our family has given charity to the proper persons, if we have performed ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, if we have properly carried out our occupational duties, and if we have been guided by learned Brahmins, I wish in exchange that this Brahmana be freed from the burning caused by Sudarshan Chakra. So he was willing to give everything, all his pious, all his sukriti that he has done. Not only his, he even volunteered his family's sukriti without even asking, but I guess he knows his family. But he is willing to give all his sukriti to protect this Brahmana. That is the mood of a devotee. And so Sudarshan Chakra became peaceful and stopped burning the Brahmana known as Durvasa Muni. So this is, so from this pastime, we see that Ambarish Maharaj, he followed the do's and the don'ts to the best of his ability. And what apparently Durvasa Muni accused him of not following, he actually did follow. So I think it's important that we follow the mood that Srila Prabhupada has given us, that we don't be too concerned about rules and regulations about others. I mean, Prabhupada was chanting his 16 rounds, Prabhupada was following the regulative principles, Prabhupada was doing everything, but he was lenient with others, those who he was preaching to. And so, so we can follow his mood that, and Ambarish Maharaj's mood that we follow the rules and regulations as strict as we possibly we can, and that we not be like Durvasa Muni, who point finger at others who may not be following. Certainly, we understand it is self-envy. That's interesting. Krishna says it's self-envy. He doesn't even say it's envy towards Ambarish Maharaj. I thought that was interesting. He says it's self-envy because you're harming yourself. You're harming yourself by pointing finger at him. And what happens? That's self-envy. If you're going to harm somebody, and if you're harming yourself, then it's self-envy, yeah? And so, even these 10 do's and don'ts that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami, which are for our devotional life, they're not some Vedic injunctions and stuff like that. These are part of a devotional service to help us remember Krishna and never forget him. So yes, we do need to follow these do's and these don'ts for our spiritual life. Anyway, these are some thoughts this morning from the do's and the don'ts that are given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your kind attention. Hari Hari Bol. So, any kind of discussion, question, anything? Yes, Govinda Prabhu and then Divyanga Prabhu.
So one of the things that was mentioned not to do, it says not to study the other scriptures. Mm-hmm. And I was curious, for the preaching purpose, you know, I was kind of assuming it actually would be helpful to be familiar at least with other traditions and other religions, and to at least to some slight degree, you know, be familiar. I'm not saying like, you know, now deeply get into studying other religions, but would you say that's okay?
Yes, or not? I think you're absolutely right. We see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was talking to Kazi, he quoted the Quran. When he was preaching to him. And Srila Prabhupada, he would always make statements, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not kill, you know, like that. So he would make certain statements like that. So I think, yes, we should have some understanding of other scriptures so as to preach. Yeah, so I guess study maybe... maybe not get into too much absorbed in other scriptures. So maybe that's how I would interpret it. Yeah, but yeah, I think that it's important. Yeah, it's very important for us to know about the other scriptures. Just like who was saying? Was that in class? Somebody was saying. No, somebody. I think it was personally. I was talking to somebody, but this devotee, Stamba Prabhu, who actually lives here, but he was preaching in Gita Nagari in the state college. And one of his discussion with the students was he would get a newspaper and he would read the newspaper, and then he would discuss the newspaper with Vedic understanding. So yeah, it describes it. We should not be reading newspaper, etc., you know, and nonsense stuff. But he says that was the best preaching, that so many students would come. They just loved it, that he would get the current newspaper, whatever was the news was there, and then accordingly he would discuss that. Yeah, so yeah, for preaching purposes, yeah. There's, again, just a balance. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, Devyanga Prabhu.
Thank you. Nice class.
Thank you.
I like that Prabhupada bent the rules out of love, and he, which would be considered, you know, like, what? He's a sannyasi. He's arranging marriages. He's even performing marriages. But he was so kind and he's so compassionate. He had to make that arrangement to include so many other jivas that were coming.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing statement. And I also like to comment on this where it's in the word for word, because talking about not to offend Vaishnavas, and it says, don't make offense to any living entity, however insignificant. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we should consider that without the right motive, it is inappropriate to reflect, even impartially, upon faults of any living being. Wow. What to speak of Vaishnavas? To blaspheme Vaishnavas is an offense, but even blaspheming other jivas is a sin. So Vaishnavas have no interest in performing such sinful acts. I thought that's amazing. That's any living entity.
Yeah. Prabhupada expected us to be gentlemen and ladies. We've been hearing that in class, to be gentlemen, to be ladies. We're expected to come really on a high level. Yes. I mean, that's what real Krishna consciousness will do to you, to come to that level of respecting everybody. Yeah. Yes, Malini.
Hi, Krishna. Thank you for your class. Just so much to think about. And you know how you went into the nuance in that nectar of instruction, to be too attached to the rule and regulation or to neglect the rule and regulation, that balance there. That, of course, they're all benevolent. They're all subservient of us remembering the Lord and never forgetting the Lord. And appreciate many aspects of your life, of your class, and bringing Durvasamuni. I'm thinking Durvasamuni's his role is to show how one can be attached to the rule and then lose the forest for the tree or something.
Yeah.
And my question is the part of, you know, of course we don't want to judge others for whatever rule and regulation they don't follow. That's, you know, clear. It's not our role. And at the same time, we are here. Our association is there to help each other. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, what's the point? It's not to be social. It's not sociality, friendship and love. That shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
So with each other, our role is to help each other. Like, okay, please give me feedback. What do you see in me that's blocking me from making advancement? What do you see in me that's there that is preventing me to experience higher level of bhakti yoga? And you know, like without coming from hiding beyond judgment, but at the same time, what's our role? How can we help each other by supporting each other to follow those 20s to go to the basic of what Srila Prabhupada is giving us? Because, you know, when we don't follow, we suffer from that. So naturally out of compassion. So, where is the place for that?
Yeah, it's a very delicate situation. I guess the first thing comes to my mind is that we try to follow as strictly as we can and set that example. And hopefully that example itself helps the other person that we may be associating with. And as far as helping another devotee, I think that unless the help is asked, it's very difficult to express. It has to be done very, very carefully. It's a very delicate thing. Like even like Srila Prabhupada talks about, you teach the daughter-in-law by instructing the daughter, yeah? And that is there because the dynamic between the relationship with the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. When Prabhupada is saying that, he knows that certain situations it's hard. You cannot necessarily instruct somebody. Sometimes you may be very careful also, but then sometimes it's taken in a negative way, you know? And so best to be able to somehow there be very thoughtful and think what is the best way. I mean, if you look at Vidura, now Vidura and Dhritarashtra are very close together, very close, yeah? They're brothers. And Dhritarashtra loves Vidura, and Vidura loves Dhritarashtra. So in that situation, sometimes you're instructing him, but it doesn't go through the person, yeah? Not only that, I mean, Vidura has so much love for Dhritarashtra that he tells him that, no, what you're doing is wrong, and it's going to destroy you, and he's telling him, and Dhritarashtra knows what Vidura is saying is the right thing. He knows that. But he's not able to follow it. Not only that, he allows him to be kicked out. He allows his son to disrespect him. That's pretty, if you think, I mean, we read these stories, but you really think about it, that's heavy. That's very heavy that he's allowing him to be kicked out of the kingdom. And he doesn't stop his son. So sometimes we may, but Vidura is just an amazing personality. I just really love his mood. That he's so much cares for his brother that he's able to tell him that, listen, you're not doing this right. It's not good for you. Self-envy, yeah? But even despite him being kicked out, he loves his brother so much, he's ready to come back to help him. How many of us would do that? I wouldn't. If somebody's like, kick me, sure, I would say, okay, this is my karma, and I'm being kicked out, and that's fine. Okay, I won't go back to the kingdom. But you know what? I'm even if I do go back, I'm not going to say anything to Dhritarashtra, you know. But no, he is so compassionate that he again takes the risk of coming and telling his brother, listen, you get out of here. Look how you're being treated like a dog. You know, so either our level of compassion and love. So I think that's where you're talking about helping others. I think when there is so much love in your heart for the other person, then yeah, go ahead and take, it's all right to take the risk. Because the other person knows you love. The other person knows you love them. And so even though you take the risk of doing so, you're taking the risk knowing that the person may or may not hear, but it's coming from the place of love. Coming from the... And probably the Dhritarashtra, again, this is a speculation on my part, but probably when Dhritarashtra allowed Duryodhan to kick out Vidura, I'm sure Dhritarashtra felt bad, but I'm sure he knew that Vidura still loves him. I'm sure in his heart he knew that Vidura loves him. you know, human exchanges, human dynamics are, it's just a whole big thing, very complex. But the question you asked is a very important question, and these are some thought that comes to my mind. Anybody else has any input on that question?
I was thinking, because of the experience of being judge, mm-hmm. it seems that our tendency to want to reveal our mind in confidence is kind of stifled by that, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. energy maybe that we have experienced.
Mm-hmm. Being judged.
And at the same time, yeah, it's on the other side of having love and looking at others with love,
yes.
and seeing the pain of their suffering, paradukha dukhi of the Vaishnav, like, yeah, I can see your suffering because you're not following, mm-hmm. and that creates so much pain. Mm-hmm. And it seems that, again, Srila Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Instruction, gave us direction for that, mm-hmm. you know, to being able to hear, like, that kind of confession, mm-hmm. like in a Catholic church, there is confession, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and to create that safe environment, trusting yeah. environment, because even the person who is not following and suffering because of that, often, you know, we want help, mm-hmm. but we don't know how to get it because mm-hmm. of the fear of being judged.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate the example of Vidura, such a beautiful example. And after I told him, like, you're like a dog. No judgment here.
Just telling you the reality as it is. You know, Vidura was very, it's amazing. Vidura was so straightforward with Dhritarashtra because that relationship was so strong that they loved each other. The two brothers, they loved each other, yeah. So yeah, we have to create that environment that we are confidential. And we see that more and more devotees over the years, as they develop relationships with another, like they have been serving for a long time, and they're like very close. We say God brothers and God sisters. So sometimes we have served with somebody for so long that you feel like that's my brother, that's my sister. You know, you actually feel that you feel so much affection that we see that devotees are able to express confidentially with somebody. Because when you see somebody is your own, you're not going to blab everything, whatever they're going through, because that's a disgrace to yourself. So if somebody is very close to you and they're having a difficult time or they have trouble with some regulative principles, if they're coming to you because you have that relationship, close relationship, and you love them, you're not going to tell everybody because they're close to you. You love them, you know? So you keep it to yourself and you help them, yeah? So yeah, we have to create an environment with each other, with some of those. This is not something that we do for everybody, but there are some people around us that we associate with that they should be able to express and they feel safe, yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. Any other thoughts or questions? Yes? Thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.